This is the Experience Points podcast for the week of August 14th, 2013, and we're dead now.
Back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast, and my name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alvor.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It's a serious but not humorless conversation about video games, and there's nothing funny about death.
There is nothing.
Well, actually, there's hilarious things about death because I've been playing nothing but roguelikes and Dota for the past 36 hours.
Oh,
good, yeah.
Oh, so you are very familiar with death.
You have to laugh or else you'll just spiral off into madness. I was forced to look into that horribleness and watch.
It was the abyss.
So we're going to talk a little bit about series today and their relative relevance.
Yeah, vitality, if you will.
That's a good thing to talk about, actually. The vitality sensor.
Yeah. Oh, is there like a thing?
Oh, we'll talk about the vitality sensor. So Chris Kohler of Wired wrote. Well, he had two articles. The first was saying basically Final Fantasy, the series, is dead. Yep. And he kind of came to this realization after there was a interview with the creators of the upcoming Final Fantasy 13-2 talking about boob physics and Lightning's outfits.
Oh, yeah, because they increased her cup size. It's so distasteful.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. But his argument was that it's not that killed Final Fantasy. This was just his catalyzing moment where he understood, oh, the thing that I once liked is gone.
Yeah, it's indicative of its of its demise.
Right. And then he wrote a follow-up article kind of explaining more, because, you know, I don't know if you heard this or not, but Final Fantasy fans, they can get riled up.
Yeah, little known fact, you can piss people off on the internet.
So he wrote a more in-depth post with, everything from artistic approach to sales figures about why the Final Fantasy series was in such bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought it'd be interesting to talk about both Final Fantasy in particular and also just other series to discuss the relative life that is still left in them.
So should we start with Final Fantasy?
I love Final Fantasy.
Rest in peace. Now, I mean, we've had this conversation before specifically about Final Fantasy.
Yeah, because, I mean, we played Final Fantasy 13 for a good 10 hours.
Yeah, or so. We didn't hit that delicious 20-hour mark, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. It's hard, because I'm kind of with the group of people who say it's a little premature to call the series dead.
Interesting.
But, yeah, I mean, that's partially because, from my understanding, both 10 and 12 were pretty well received.
Mm-hmm.
I might not be the biggest fan of those ones. They're not ranked highest on my list. But for some people, Final Fantasy X was great, right?
Mm.
And there's been shitty Final Fantasy games for a while now, right? Like, there are all those, like, Chocobo spinoffs and stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was this dark time during, like, the PS1 era where there was, like...
Right.
But, I mean, even those were, like... Again, but they were in the same time frame when they were making 7, 8, and 9, which is like kind of the silver age of Final Fantasy or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. Again, that's the other side of the coin, right? Is that, while maybe it's premature to say that it's a dead series, I think it is also... We'd be kidding ourselves if we weren't to admit, like, there is something wrong here, right? Like, there is... The death knell has been cold.
Yeah, you can't unring that bell. And, like, the interesting thing that I always like about Chris is that he also pays attention to the business side of things, too. Right. So he tried to cull together some numbers. He found the Japanese numbers. And, you know, again, numbers in video games are pretty hard to figure out. But it looks like Final Fantasy has been kind of on the slide downwards for a number of years now.
Yes.
You know, 13 didn't do that well. 13-2 is not doing that well. The MMOs have had a dedicated core fan base, but they've been kind of boondoggles.
Yeah, I mean, 11 was really profitable, and yeah, you're right. And a lot of people sort of excise the MMO from the rest of the series as something that's particularly unique.
Yeah.
The conversation that I've heard around the Final Fantasy 14 A Realm Reborn beta has been that it's something that might actually be able to revive the Final Fantasy series.
Yeah.
I find it strange that you could even say that when it comes to an MMO because of how functionally different it is from any other sort of Final Fantasy experience.
Yeah.
But that being said, you know, there's a chance, right? There's a chance it could come back to life.
So, but, and by coming back to life, what does that mean? Like, going back to the days of, like, because, like, my favorite Final Fantasy is probably Final Fantasy 6 slash 3, depending on if you're using the American numbers or
whatever. Well, what I would actually compare it to is EverQuest. Did you see the recent EverQuest Next?
Yeah, the voxels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the stuff that SOE is doing with EverQuest Next actually looks kind of freaking cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you were to go to me and say, hey, George, like, do you think EverQuest will ever be on people's mind again? I'd say, God, no, of course not.
Yeah.
So what I would think of Final Fantasy being alive again is that there's innovation and creative stuff coming out of there. Mm-hmm. That people will say, oh, there's another Final Fantasy game. I wonder what this one will do.
Mm.
You know, like, that's the hope.
Yeah.
But really, nothing has connected the series together other than some of similar vernacular of, like, Gaia and, you know, stuff like that.
Phoenix Downs.
Yeah, Bahamut and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the artistic look and feel. But even that's changed over time.
Yeah. This is, like, the idea of the Final Fantasy death is interesting to me because I feel like it is so surface level. Like, what's turned me off of the recent Final Fantasies is that the voice acting to me is terrible and the artistic style is boring. Like, it looks like generic anime to me.
It does.
But then again, like, I thought Final Fantasy 13 was actually pretty interesting in terms of the game itself.
Right.
Like, I thought it was a pretty, like, we live in this weird time where, like, the days of lining up in a row and fighting another row of dudes is almost, you know, it's outdated, it seems like. Like, you know, they were kind of combining some MMO things and, like, pulling together all that stuff. Like, it seemed, you know, forward-thinking.
Yeah.
It's just this weird surface-level thing, and I guess the boob physics is kind of indicative of that, where the series has lost its way.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah. I mean, that being said, then, do you think that the sort of action RPG style of Final Fantasy 15, that sort of whole reveal, seemed appealing at all?
I mean, it kind of made it seem like it was Metal Gear Revengeance or whatever. But and, you know, say what you will, Square Enix can still put together an amazing trailer.
Yes, definitely.
You know, even if it is gameplay or cutscene or whatever, man, they're really good at that.
Yeah.
So I heard this interesting theory. I think it was actually Jeff Gerstmann who put it together. He was saying that in retrospect, from a historical perspective, perhaps Final Fantasy VII was the worst thing to ever happen to the Final Fantasy series.
Oh, because it just blew everything else out of the water, or?
Because, one, it got huge, right? It became a mass thing rather than a more niche genre thing. Two, the idea of cutscenes has been kind of what has driven all the subsequent Final Fantasies.
Yes, that's very true, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's what we associate it with now.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just, I had never thought about it like that, but now, especially in, like, even in Final Fantasy 13, like, remember there was a whole discussion of, like, oh, should I play it on 360 or PS3? Well, maybe I'll play it on the PS3 because the Blu-ray will have higher quality cutscenes and there's, like, MPEG compression on the Xbox.
I mean, if anything, then maybe, like, the drop in sales is really just, it's coming back to the norm. It's like, we're finally returning from Final Fantasy VII to something that is a bit more normal of a franchise.
I think for JRPGs, like, the mid and late 90s were this amazing time where
the epoch.
Yeah, like, they were the first person shooters
of
that era. Mm-hmm. And now we're kind of like, oh, okay, we'll, like, you know, bring that back in. But, you know, as Chris brought up, they were some of the only video games that were talking about, you know, mainstream video games, that is, that were talking about relationships and, you know, actual, like, political insight and warfare and gun stuff swords. Like that. Gun swords.
You know?
But, I mean, now, it's laughable now, but now every single game has a message.
Yeah, that's totally true.
You know?
And some more subtle than Final Fantasy has ever done.
Right, exactly. Right. Even back in the day, you look at it, they're all melodramas. So it's like, that time and place was a unique, you know, was a unique thing for Final Fantasy.
And I think that's the weird thing about asking whether or not it can be revived, because there's that divide, I think, between people who do want something new and different, and people who really just kind of want that melodrama, want those cutscenes, they want to just relive some of those older moments.
Yeah, yeah. So, maybe dead, maybe not dead. I'm not necessarily, after reading this interview, I'm not that optimistic for Final Fantasy 13 2. And, you know, the idea that even, like, direct sequels to Final Fantasy, I think, is kind of a bummer to me, just because...
I totally agree.
You know,
it's you're just wasting your efforts.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. The nice thing is that it was kind of a mythology rather than a single narrative.
Right, and now it's the norm, right? I mean, X2.
Yeah.
I guess.
I don't know if they're doing it with anything else. I feel like this is. But I mean, they've had a million Final Fantasy VII type, you know, extra movies and, you know, Vincent's story.
That's
and
true.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, they're not as willing.
That's not good.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, he had these like, I don't know. It's rapidly approaching the Star Wars problem, where there is more stuff that's kind of shitty than stuff that there was good. You know.
Yeah, but no one would put the dead tags on Star Wars yet, right?
Probably not, but I mean, it depends on what you're looking at it for.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
we did sort of on Star Wars games. Yeah.
Seriously, like I feel like both of us are at a point where it's like Star Wars games have very little to offer anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting.
So speaking of dead series, we wanted to like bring together a couple of series, a handful of series that we can either put the stamp on.
Yes.
We can either call it.
Okay.
Mark it down.
Should we start with an easy one?
Yeah, let's start with an easy one. We're trying to figure out whether these just, you know, obviously this is very informal, just spitballing whether
I apologize ahead of time if you just love every game in the series we're gonna name.
Just suit up. It's flame time.
Well, let's start with an easy one then. Yeah. I'm just gonna say Sonic the Hedgehog. That's pretty easy, right? That's been dead for like 20 years now.
But the funny thing is they still keep making them, so they must be profitable.
Yeah, but my guess is because it's so cheap.
From an artistic perspective, sure, it's not. I feel like Sonic Colors is actually kind of cool, but I only ever played like an hour of it, so I may have gotten sick of it.
That's the other problem with some of these on our list is if it's bad, I probably haven't played it,
right,
to be fair.
Right. But I mean, the idea, Sonic is nowhere near the Sonic where he was in 1992.
The best Sonic game I've played in recent memory is like Smash Brothers, where he's like in a completely different game.
Right.
Because it feels good. It feels like Sonic, right? Mm-hmm. In a way that none of his actual games do.
Yeah, and I recently, maybe a year, 2 years ago or something, I replayed Sonic CD when they released it and reviewed it. And
it ages well, or
it's okay. I mean, like Sonic was interesting at the time because it was fast, but even compared to its contemporaries, it's kind of floaty.
Yep.
The idea, you know, Sonic got into more platforming, but the very nature of its speed meant that platforming was not its strong suit, because where it put Sonic on the screen, like if you were to divide a screen into thirds, Sonic wasn't far enough to the left in order for you to actually see things coming
and plan ahead,
up. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's like the best Sonic game that's come out in the past couple of years is probably like Explosion Man or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, or maybe like Rayman.
Because Rayman has those fast levels.
Yeah, like, Rayman has very fast levels. And Rayman does a very good job, though, of making it rhythmic in a way that it almost becomes, I mean, especially in the upcoming Rayman Legends, it's literally like a music game.
Mm-hmm.
And capturing that aspect of it while maintaining the speed is the best iteration on that Sonic idea that anyone's done in a long time.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. I mean, they're making them because Sonic's a bankable face still, which is crazy.
Yeah, you just gotta love that blue face.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. What would you have to do in order to bring Sonic back? Like, you'd probably have to take a page from things like Super Meat Boy or Rayman or something, and, you know,
go extreme. Just have him die constantly.
Well, I mean, Sonic almost already dies constantly because if
he's
you don't
like a werewolf now.
If you when he got married to the lady in the cutscene at the end of that one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We'll just not. I'll edit that out. let me throw one out there that is possibly dead. The Silent Hill franchise.
Ooh, yeah. I thought about putting it on my list.
Yeah.
From what I heard, though, is that the Silent Hill The Room came out a few years ago.
Silent Hill, Room.
I think it was called The Room. Maybe it was The Apartment. There's a room involved.
Well, Shattered Memories came out, like, 4 years ago or
we
something?
We liked Shattered Memories, right?
That was a great game.
So why is it dead already?
Well, because it was kind of an offshoot of the main...
Definitely was, yeah.
You know, Silent Hill thing. And the last Silent Hill game that I played and actually reviewed was Downpour, and it was bad.
Just straight bad.
Yeah, it was just, you know, what they were trying to do was interesting, but it was not... You know, it didn't really follow. They didn't follow through with a lot of the things that were, you know, with the open world aspects, and, you know, some of the decisions you had to make kind of fell off the map.
But so what? okay, so what defines a Silent Hill franchise, right? Like, it's right. got to be atmosphere, it's the fog, it's right. the sort of radio, right? Like,
due to the pyramid head.
Yeah, are those things yeah. dead? Like, we can have those again, right? Like, imagine, what yeah. if it was like a first-person amnesia-type Silent Hill or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, kind of, I see the common thread of a lot of these things are they're kind of stuck with the initial tropes that they were yes, doing rather definitely. Than the and the initial gameplay tropes too, not the thematic tropes.
Yeah.
Which are fine. I mean, abandoned towns are creepy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and that's to the point where, you know, if you were to say, "Oh, we can revive the Silent Hill series." Well, why? I mean, we mm-hmm. have other horror games that satisfy some of those same mm-hmm. wants and needs, right?
Yeah.
So is there anything unique about Silent Hill anymore that needs to be revived?
Yeah. I mean, and that's why I wish Shattered Memories was, you know, kind of a bigger splash, because you had that non-reliable gameplay experience where mm-hmm. you're not quite sure what's happening. Is this the game kind of being weird, or is it making a point about someone's psyche, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, with the whole interview questions and stuff.
Yeah, I thought that was some... Also, it was one of the better uses of motion control that I think that has ever existed.
Yeah. So did that not do well?
I don't know if it did well, but, I mean, it was on the Wii.
Yeah. I mean, that's a scary thing, right? Is I think that you can pretty much call a series dead or dying, at the very least, if the games that do it well don't sell.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is our attempt at making it a better series. This mm-hmm. is our attempt at innovating within that franchise.
Right.
And if that doesn't do well enough to garner attention and garner further exploration into those themes or ideas,
yeah.
then, like, you might be just shit out of luck.
Yeah. All right. Do you have another...
I do. I have another one.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is more of a... Maybe a genre or story
okay.
one, but it is...
MOBAs. They're dead.
MOBAs are dead, yeah. man. They're not... They're overrated. Aliens. Aliens versus Predator specifically.
Oh, well, they had that disaster of a game that just came out.
Right. So yeah. Gearbox yeah. basically put the nail in the coffin there with yeah. this latest Alien series.
Mm.
But here's my argument for why the Alien series is dead.
Okay.
One is that we're quickly losing the cultural cachet that is the Aliens franchise anyway.
That's a good right? point.
Prometheus was not well received.
Right.
I think, you know, people saw it in general, but critically it was not
so
well loved.
I didn't see Prometheus, but... Okay, 5-second spoiler for Prometheus.
Yes.
Were there or were there not explicit references to aliens in Prometheus?
There were explicit references
okay, to aliens. Okay, so it was specifically in that whole timeline.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, great, that's all I need to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Prometheus was not incredibly well received, yeah. right? The Alien and Aliens franchise, while it's a classic and always will be a classic, is not in the popular consciousness the way it was a long time ago,
yeah.
right?
Right.
Alien vs. Predator, the very first game, was awesome, really yeah. cool, in that you could play as a military person, an alien, a predator, mm-hmm. right? But since then, other games have done that better,
right?
We have Natural Selection 2 that does the whole alien human thing.
I was just gonna mention that game.
Yeah, way yep. better than Aliens. So mm-hmm. at this point, there's no. I almost feel like you're worse off if you tie it to the Aliens franchise, because now what you're drumming up is the shitty Gearbox game,
right.
and this idea of like Space Marines that is just getting old and trite.
Right.
Like, I don't think there's less cultural interest in the idea of an Aliens
right.
franchise. So I think it's somewhat sad, because Aliens versus Predators game is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But the flag's been dropped, and others have picked it up, and the series has nowhere to go.
It's also interesting to think about, pretty much every multiplayer game has classes now, whereas when those initial Alien Deathmatch type games were coming out,
right.
it was a bit more unique, but now every single game has different classes, and every single game has different roles and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not... And of course, there's things like Borderlands, right? We're all humanoid, and, you know, playing as the aliens is not that different. But there are games, really, where it does feel different.
Yeah,
I'm Natural pretty sure Selection. There's like, Natural Selection is a perfect example, but there are others, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
I think there's one where, like, you can play as a dinosaur.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
What is that one?
I forget what it's called, but yes, it is basically dinosaurs versus humans. Yeah.
I approve of that.
Yeah. That's a good call. I like that one. So, maybe... this is an easy one, because it got me thinking about it, because you said Gearbox, but Duke Nukem?
Oh, yeah. That's gone.
Yeah. Except that there were rumors that Gearbox bought Duke Nukem Forever so they could work on a real Duke Nukem.
Yeah,
and they had
but,
to
I mean,
put that out kind of contractually, so...
The fact that Duke Nukem Forever is... Not forever. What is that? The one that came out recently? Yeah, that was so heavily panned. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, that is literally the nail in the coffin. Because why would anyone trust you anymore to make another good Duke Nukem game?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and also, that whole game was kind of like Guns N' Roses Chinese Democracy. Like how it was their long running follow up that they never came out with.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I read this interesting thing on Grantland the other day about Chinese Democracy, and they were saying that the worst thing that ever happened to Guns N' Roses was them releasing that album.
Yeah.
Because it's not like the album was terrible. It was that it was not anything to write home about, and that was like even worse.
Yeah. So that's basically why Half-Life 3 will never come out.
Kind of. And like, you know, Duke Nukem was definitely like, I hear it was a bad game, and I played the demo and it was functional, but I wasn't like glitching through the walls or anything, which is almost worse. You know, like, it's worse to be non-remarkable.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, like, you finished it, and the product you wanted was this.
Yeah, exactly.
That's ugly. Can we throw Doom in that box as well?
Oh, I was thinking about that, too. Well, I mean, geez. Doom 3, you know? When you were playing it, it was really cool.
But in retrospect?
In retrospect, it's like, this is a monster closet game.
Yeah, does it hold up?
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, there were some, like, lighting effects that were pretty cool.
Well, I mean, technologically, obviously, it's like, as almost all id games are, way ahead of its time. But
again, I think there's a lack of cultural awareness anymore. That name's not going to carry its weight.
Well, and also, like, what is Doom? You know, Doom is...
What is Doom? What is Doom?
The essence of Doom is, like, is an arcade... Like, if you were to, like, pull out and look at Doom from, like, a top-down perspective, it would look like an arcade game, which is not how modern first-person shooters look.
Yeah.
And, like, it's super fast. It's, like, really about running and gunning. It's not about the type of tactical stuff that people really like these days in first-person shooters. And, you know, so if it's not about the gameplay, it sure as hell isn't about the narrative. Because, like, come on.
Come on.
Go to Mars and hell opens up on Mars.
Right,
you know, like,
exactly.
So maybe you're right. Maybe there's some...
Colonnade.
Yeah.
Let's see. I got some more. Do you have some more?
I have some more, yeah.
How about Medal of Honor? I put that in my
list. Oh, yeah. Because Allied Assault was...
Right, and Warfighter came out as well, which was their modern attempt, which was not well received.
Yeah.
So, you know, Medal of Honor, they had to move away from the World War II at last.
Right.
They couldn't get into the modern century.
Because there was the modern one, but then there was also the one before the high-tech one, right? That was much more similar to Battlefield.
There's a lot of Medal of Honor games I have not played.
Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, maybe it's gotten crowded out by Battlefield. Because if you want a huge multiplayer game, Battlefield. If you want the cinematic experience,
Call of Duty.
And if you just want the most popular multiplayer game, Call of Duty.
Yeah, yeah.
So where does that leave Medal of Honor? Like,
there's no room, man. I mean, there's so many shooters these days that I just, you know, we can call it.
That's a good point.
I should do that at the end of the credits.
Okay, here's one that is going to be sad. What do you think about Prince of Persia?
Oh, man, that is sad.
But think about it. Last time we had a Prince of Persia game was 2009.
Yep.
It was a great game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard because... What is Prince of Persia?
Prince of Persia, I think... Don't you think Prince of Persia came back from the dead after Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, Part 2?
Yeah, yeah.
Or what was that called? It was the heavy metal one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, Dark something, probably?
Yeah.
It was like your evil twin was in that
game. Yeah, Sands of Time came out, then they got real into nu metal and did, like, and did the second one.
Yeah.
And the third one was pretty good.
The problem is, I have a hard time... So, you know... It's Prince of Persia is so defined by that 3D platforming, but I have a hard time trying to imagine what Prince of Persia looks like in a post Uncharted world.
Mm.
You know, what is it? Is it grapple the same way? Mm-hmm. Like what is it exactly? And then additionally, while I think some of the lore and the atmosphere from the Middle East is still ripe and we can pluck that tree still.
That pomegranate tree.
The sweet, sweet pomegranate tree. I don't know, man. I guess, maybe we can call it dead.
But it's...
Who has
it's,
the rights right now? Do you know?
I mean, Ubisoft still has all that. I mean, it's somewhere. I feel like...
They're just waiting?
The worst thing that ever happened to Prince of Persia was Assassin's Creed.
That's pretty.
Because
that's
I mean, if Ubisoft didn't have to crank out a million Assassin's Creeds a year, plus Watch Dogs, plus, you know, whatever other third-person quasi, you know, combat slash platforming thing, maybe there'd be more room in their pipeline for, you know, bringing Prince of Persia into it. That 2009 game was really good, though. Like, yeah, that's the really saddest thing about it. It wasn't like Medal of Honor, where it was poorly received.
Yeah, it went out in a bang, and then sort of...
Yeah, yeah. But, I don't know, I guess that's... Assassin's Creed, even killing other video games.
Sneaky, Connor.
God damn it, Ezio.
What's another? I don't know about this one yet. How about Resident Evil?
Oh, yeah, I had that on my list.
Yeah, did you?
Oh, jeez, okay. Yeah. I mean, come on. Resident Evil 6 was terrible.
Yeah, the last one was what, that... Resident Evil Outbreak? Was that what it was?
They've had a lot of spin-offs. Yeah, there was like a multiplayer kind of focused one.
Oh god, it was so bad.
I mean, it was... But Resident Evil is very similar to, I think, and I do not think it's a coincidence that there's a lot of Japanese series on this
ooh,
list.
Yeah.
Because, like...
Phil Fish over here, careful now.
Yeah, I'm just gonna shut down my Twitter account. Just, you know, like Final Fantasy... And like Silent Hill, there was a time and place when it was the epitome of a certain type of game.
Yeah.
And once the world shifts underneath its feet, what happens? You know?
Yeah.
You know, once Gears of War comes out, I mean, without Resident Evil 4, video games wouldn't look the way they do now.
Yeah.
But then we've since kind of continued to move.
We've also had sort of the bridge between horror and shooter action games, right? Militaristic action games in the form of like Killzone or For Threer and things like that.
Yeah. And Resident Evil is not as creepy anymore. It's much more of a shooter.
Yeah. Yeah.
The idea, even Resident Evil itself has been kind of...
The best part of the last game was the scary part.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the constant enemies and, you know, all of the shooting means it just gets lumped into Gears of War rather than towards the Silent Hill end of the spectrum. Yeah.
Well, so, what about Metroid?
Oh yeah, that's a good one that Japanese I didn't think about, but oh gosh, Other M.
Awful, wow. Right?
Yeah, I played that game because I love playing Metroid games, and like, it's sad because they killed it.
Oh, you know? Yeah, because it's not even we're gonna give this to somebody else.
No, they gave it to
Oh, that's right.
Ninja Theory.
Yeah.
And like the gameplay was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had the weird, you know, they did interesting things by, you know, having more melee focus and like kind of cycling between 2D and 3D. Didn't necessarily work all that great, but it was innovative. Like it was.
So they killed it narratively.
Oh yeah.
They did.
Wow. Yeah. In a big way.
I mean, this is where I think the question of like reboots come in.
Yeah.
Like at some point do you get, okay, you know what? Last ditch effort. Clear, boof, let's just do it all over
again.
Can we rebirth it?
Yeah, just put out, for the Wii U, just put out a game called Metroid.
Yeah.
And, like, do it again.
Yeah.
You know? At this point, they have to, because they just destroyed the Samus character, and it was just, it was a mess. It was a mess. And not even, like, a silly mess. Like, wow, you just wrote a blatantly sexist character.
Yeah.
Amazing. You know, like, and you clearly didn't know what you were doing, and you thought you were doing a good thing.
I think this is where... there's some hope or some silver lining in that there are games now that I never thought we'd see again or would be revived in the way that they are, right? Like XCOM, really well received. The old XCOMs was great, but it's been so many years. And then XCOM Enemy Unknown came out.
That's true.
It was a lot of people's games of the year.
Yeah.
The Bureau comes out later this year. There's DLC for it. Like XCOM is back in a big way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Partly because other games like it sort of brought it back, right? Frozen Synapse.
Right.
You get things like Kickstarter, Shadowrun Returns, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who expected that?
Yeah.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, even if we call Metroid dead now, maybe in a few years someone is willing to reboot it and give it new life.
And, I mean, the most interesting thing that happened to Metroid was the Metroid Prime series, where they did give it to, you know, they're kind of like shopping it around to different developers. So, like, the idea that it's not stuck in... Because, like, the danger of something like Super Mario is that it's stuck in Nintendo EAD, and no one really gets a crack at it other than Nintendo.
Yep.
But the neat thing is, like, what you're saying is they could, hey, give Metroid to Platinum and see what happens. You know,
I mean, that's
like,
the crazy thing, right? Is you really can just give it to... When something is dead, or even when something's not dead, right? Like Metal Gear going the Revengeance route.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you know what? Just in case, let's see if someone can breathe new life into this.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, I get, again, it's probably... it's a similar thing with Resident Evil, similar thing with Final Fantasy, Silent Hill. Like, yep. They're all kind of trapped within their... Actually, no, that's... I take that back. Silent Hill is not trapped. It was just shopped around poorly.
Yeah.
But those other two games are trapped within their developers. Yeah. You know?
And the thing now is, I think you do find... The one hard thing about that, the pessimistic side, is that we have other games. The developers who grew up with these games,
yep,
who are now designing games, have designed games that are as good or better. Right? Yep. Like, there are better horror games now,
yeah,
than most of the Silent Hill games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, developers don't necessarily need to see a reason, right? It's, yeah. You know, in the way that I feel like we got so lucky when Joss Whedon agreed to do The Avengers, mm-hmm. right? Because superhero films were kind of shitty for a long time. I mean, there were a few mm-hmm. good ones... But the idea of somebody doing a compilation superhero film and knocking it out of the water was mm-hmm. unimaginable to a lot of people. So if we could find someone who has the love and the care for these franchises, who grew up in those franchises and want to do something awesome with it, it could be really neat. Mm-hmm. But I think the longer we wait, the less and less likely we are to find people who match that bill.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking of all the Philistines who hated the Ang Lee version of the Hulk. God, that was a good movie. No one understands. I think, and then if you miss that window, though, you're then probably going to have to wait another generation of developers,
yep.
with people who have almost less nostalgic respect for it, just to try to do something with it.
Right.
Because they're not holding on to these sacred cows of, like, we need to include this in Metroid because they always have the super bombs, you know, something yeah. like that. And so, like, you either have to hit it with some innovative people in the moment of crisis, or it just needs to lay fallow for a long time.
Yeah. You can rebuild it.
Yeah. Ugh, what a downer.
It's like Bionic Commando.
They tried to do that one. Let's open it up to everyone else. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address if you want to reach us with any questions, thoughts, or comments.
And we're still alive and kicking at experiencepoints.net. Come on by. Feel our pulse.
Yeah. We're fingers on the pulse of the gaming of the gaming world here. Until next time, everyone, thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Peace. Every time we